training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold.
Hi, this is DJ Humphries, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Let's go. Let's go put this bananas on. Come on.
You know, we're just trying to find the best scheme that attacks the defenses, and coach is very creative.
I think we're building a culture of high energy, high intensity, and guys that all they want to do is just win and be the best.
I think you have to be aggressive these days.
Huddle.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now. Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
All right, Mitch. This coming down from Colts camp. Head coach Frank Reich said Carson Wentz will undergo foot surgery. Adam Schefter adds it'll be 5 to 12 weeks recovery.
Oh, my goodness. Can you
imagine? That kid.
Holy cow. The Indianapolis Colts might have the best defense in the National Football League.
Really?
They're going to be top three, top four. Ball out, flat out, stuff you. Love the Colts defense.
Granted, I'm a little partial, but I think Washington's going to be number one. Especially when you consider the division they play in. Now, maybe Dallas is going to be great and rack up two games of scoring. The one question I have with Washington is Ryan Fitzpatrick, because when you have that good of a defense, don't turn the ball over. And Ryan is a guy that takes a chance or two, so that's going to be kind of funny. Today is the first day of pads for the Arizona Cardinals to actually hit other human beings with, as the five-day acclimation period was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So now football players, I guess, are acclimated to football, so they are allowed to hit each other now.
Yeah, you know what? Finally, we're actually going to see some fur fly base underneath. I cannot wait. Absolutely cannot wait for today, this afternoon. 1 o'clock is when practice is going to begin. I do believe it is open to the public. It's always a very popular day, the first day you put pads on. And it's been a little chippy right now. I have to tell you, base audience, it's been a little chippy. And I think this five-day acclimation period is one of the reasons why it's been so chippy. There are guys that are chomping literally on their mouth guard to get at it, to start hitting some people and playing the game of football. And until you put that mouth guard in, until you smear the eye black on and line up and try to bury somebody, you're really not playing the game the way that it was intended to be played. There are guys, I can tell you right now, there are guys that I'm very, very interested to follow around in day one.
Such as?
Such as the two inside linebackers, Zaven Collins, of course, and Isaiah Simmons. Those two young guys right there. Isaiah Simmons has already proven to me at the NFL level that he'll stick his face into the fire. I've seen him do it. I've seen a guard fire out on him after some type of ace block, come out, get to the second level, and I've seen Isaiah Simmons put his face right into his chest. I've seen him do that. I've seen him make tackles where his head, once again, you never want to lead with your head, Basinonians. You never want to do that in today's NFL. Helmet to helmet is real. You don't want to do it. CTE is real, and that's the reason why the NFL has done something about how you play the game of football. And you never want to lead with your head anymore. But having said that, you still got to get your head into it with your shoulder when you wrap up and you make a strong, concerted tackle. That's what Isaiah Simmons did and showed me he's willing to do. Put his head right into the fire as well. He did it against Cam Newton. Cam Newton running down the sideline. Big man, jacked him up. Listen, that to me was very, very encouraging, because all you hear about Isaiah Simmons is what an athlete he is, and rightfully so. What a great runner he is. How well he runs in his length and the athleticism. That's all true. But if you're going to play the game of football, especially inside linebacker, you better be willing to stick your face into the fire. And he proved that he was. Now Zaven Collins, cannot wait for that, to see this big man, this big Mike Backer, 260 pounds, take on a guard who's firing out on him.
I'm with you on watching those two, but I would actually say I'm not necessarily watching anyone in specific. I would love for someone to stand out. I'm watching everything in general because I just want to see how physical is it going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have all of the talk in the offseason was leadership and physicality, and then you open up the first day of hitting with Camp Pillow Fight, then don't tell me that you're going to be a physical team. I want to see whether it's going to be physical. And there's going to be an argument in today's day and age that, oh, no, we can't get physical in training camp because somebody might get hurt. And I was okay. But then doesn't that send the signal that physicality wasn't a problem last year? If you don't practice physicality, I don't see how you can be physical. And if you don't call physical run plays and physical run play times, it shows we need to out-scheme you. We're not physical enough to blow you off the ball. And I want to see if Cliff Kingsbury actually embraces those things.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. J.J. Watt, still going to be a question mark as to whether or not we're going to see J.J. Watt, Rodney Hudson. Man, chomping at the bit to see those guys out on the field. Bernhard Sikovits. There's a guy right there. The kid that came over from Europe right here. Bernhard Sikovits, Basinonians. That's the guy I want to see come over here, stick his face into the fire. I had the opportunity to meet him, had a great conversation with him. He really enjoys that part of the game. And here it is right now. Here's your opportunity. As my brother Craig once told me, shut your mouth, respect everybody, and pick a fight with the toughest guy on the team. Bernhard.
You're not calling him psycho? You don't. He hasn't earned that nickname in your mind yet?
No. I love the psycho. He says everyone calls him psycho. Everybody calls him psycho. Yeah, maybe we'll call you psycho when you stick your face into the fire. Just saying. You got to earn this. The meritocracy thing. Once again,
I was at a press conference Saturday, and Max Williams was one of the people there, and he was talking about psycho in the room and talking about how smart the guy is and how quickly he's picking up the playbook. Obviously, that's an important aspect, but until you get punched in the face, we don't know what's going to happen. But he was talking him up big time. He said everybody's excited to see what he's going to do. But he said there's a fire in there because if there's anybody there, I think a lot of you know this, but he's part of a program of spreading the game of football. So he's kind of an Austrian import into this thing. And he knows how rare it will ever be for a player to get a legitimate chance from a European football foundation type of thing to actually make an NFL team. So Max was kind of commenting on the guy's desire of he's going to bring something to the table because this is, you talk about, as you've always said, talk about desperation. This will be his desperate attempt to make an NFL team because he's not going to get probably any other opportunity.
It is fascinating to me, Douglas. It really is. I mean, this guy, he's going to get the opportunity to be a European star. I mean, can you imagine if he'd make this roster and be playing on Sundays? He would become a European sensation from Salzburg. Actually, he's not from Salzburg, but it just sounds so cool. Salzburg, Austria. Have you ever been to Salzburg, Austria?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
But my money has been spent in Salzburg,
They have
Austria.
Some of the best medieval ruins you've ever seen. Medieval
Wait,
forts.
You've been to Salzburg?
No. Oh, I'm just telling you right now. If there was one place I would want to go see, it'd be Salzburg. Salzburg, Austria.
Over anywhere outside the country?
Yeah. Can you give me a Templar fort? Oh, you can. Okay. I'll take that all day long. Walking through a Knights Templar fort. Stand in the gap!
I was assuming, judging by what Paul has said about a trip to Baltimore, that you would have chosen your only place outside the country. It would have been like Charles Dickens' office or something like that.
Stand in the gap.
Hmm. How long did you supposedly spend at Edgar Allan Poe's desk and...
It was a while.
Oh, that's creepy. Coming up next.
Don't be concerned.
Oh, okay. Why should Suns fans be happy? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Doug and Wolf in the Oxygen Community Studios. 3 o'clock, right in the middle of the Burns and Gambo show, who will be live at Cards Camp.
during the first hitting practice. We'll also be able to tell you what's the latest news on Chris Paul as free agency begins at 6 o'clock Eastern today, as far as being able to actually talk to free agents. And right now, Chris Paul is not a member of the Suns. Over the weekend, he opted out of the one-year $44 million option that he had as a player option on his contract. And the Suns really don't get a say in that. He either says, I want it, and they owe him $44 million over the next year, or he says, I don't want it, and he can go anywhere he wants. That sounds bad. Because he opted out, he can go anywhere he wants.
Don't be concerned. That's what it says for the Suns. I think you'll see him probably come to some type of agreement whenever the 6 p.m. time comes. And, for 3 years, potentially 4 years. I don't know if all that money will be guaranteed, but I think the number will go down from 44 to a little bit lower. And I think it was more of a business decision for Chris to opt out of that and see if he can get some length onto his salary.
That is Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider with ESPN, used to dealing with these types of situations. And as he takes the survey around the league, as he looks at what Chris Paul did for the Suns, and as he looks at the future of the Suns, he says Chris Paul becoming a free agent is a good thing for the Suns because it means he's going to stay as a Sun.
4 years? honestly, didn't think of 4 years. 3 years, I think most people felt like they were pushing the envelope when they said 3 years, but I think 3 years sounds about right there. It's interesting to hear Bobby Marks say there might be a fourth year as well, and then talk about the guarantees and how much of that would actually be guaranteed. Just the fact that Chris Paul is a free agent right now, right? That he is a free agent. That to me is a dicey. It's a dicey proposition, even though we know he's not going anywhere.
It was funny. Bobby Marks joked about the fact of how you look at the contract now as a no-brainer to sign him to 3 years and somewhere between $80 and $100 million, depending on what you're going to be able to get him for. That sounds like a no-brainer because we all remember what it's like without him over the course of the last 10 years. But Bobby admits a few years from now,
we're probably going to have this conversation in 2 years, and you're going to be saying, like, Bobby, like, what do you think about this Chris Paul contract? I'm saying, man, it's terrible. But right now, it is what it is, right? Like, just, it is what it is. I mean, it's the nature of the beast. I mean, the good thing is, like, I know he was nicked up during the playoffs and stuff. He has been relatively healthy, certainly last year in Oklahoma City, and then this year in Phoenix. Doesn't miss many regular season games and takes great care of his body there. And when you have the core around him, it's not like you're asking him to do a ton of the heavy lifting from a point standpoint. So, yeah, I mean, there's always concerns as far as the back end of these big extensions, especially for a guy who's 36. I mean, the interesting thing with Chris, and I was digging around, is that he'll become only the third player since 1999 to sign a contract for more than $25 million over the age of 35. It's, him and LeBron and Dirk back in Dallas, so he'll join elite company there.
It's funny that he made that reference, only the third person to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody remember how it seemed like after lunch, how old Dirk got? I mean, it was just like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He was an elite player, and then boom, he seemed to get old in an hour and a half one day. Hopefully Chris Paul's still playing at a reasonably elite level in 3 years.
It's a great question, though, Douglas. Are you worried about Chris Paul and his mentality? Would you ever think about Chris Paul wanting the golden parachute, for lack of a better way of saying it?
No, not worried about that.
Fooled you!
I'm totally worried about injuries. I'm totally worried about him maybe being Dirk and the body breaking down and him just looking old out there. But I have zero question about his heart and his love of the game and his desire to still play at the highest level he can.
That is so important to me right there, that he's not out there trying to pull the wool over the man's eyes, so to speak. Ha ha, got you! That is not Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a pro's pro if ever there was one. A guy that is a dog. A guy that is an alpha dog. A guy that is going to go out there and give you everything he's got. A guy that loves to compete, maniacally compete. That's Chris Paul. All of that. And that's important going forward. The desire, the will has got to be there going forward. The fire has got to be there. And it is with Chris Paul. And then you look at the body. You look at the physical part of it. Listen, Chris Paul takes care of his body. He understands he's got to and goes about his business in that way. And because of those two things, you know what? You've got to do this. There is no option. There is no alternative. You have to sign him to a three-year deal. And if it means that somehow, some way, you get a fourth year in there where you can actually sign campaign and bring him back as well, yeah, you have no option.
It's really interesting.
Yes, you do have an option, but it's unacceptable. Can you imagine the fan base? What would happen if you didn't sign Chris Paul?
It's a really interesting thing. I'm going to put the leverage on Chris Paul's favor, but it's not all in Chris Paul's favor. You know, I'll never forget the great quote from Tony Gwynn in a contract negotiation when he said, the Padres would be a fool to let me go somewhere else considering what I mean to this city and the franchise, and I would be a fool to ever leave this situation. So neither of us have any leverage. And it was really an interesting thing, and I look at this the exact same way. Chris Paul has the leverage because all of us remember, and so do the Suns, what's it going to be like without him? And how quickly they could fall back to, we'd be lucky to be middle of the pack without Chris Paul. But at the same time, how dumb would he be to go somewhere else? Because he got more value to the Suns than he does to anybody else. And then there's this. Even though this is not in reference to Chris Paul, the no-brainer team that he might be interested in would be the Los Angeles Lakers, because that's home. It's where his family lives. His best friend is LeBron. You compete for a championship. Brian Windhorst, the NBA insider for ESPN, said this morning about the Lakers.
I honestly believe that the Lakers are going to need to sign 10 minimum players. What, you just heard me.
10
minimum players. That means that they are going to have to look for guys to take discounts and fill different roles all across the board.
Now, the question was in relationship to Andre Iguodala becoming a free agent. Do you think he goes back to Golden State, or do you think he becomes a Sun and LeBron really a Sun becomes a Laker and LeBron really pushes for him? And his answer was more, every single human being that will play under a veteran's minimum contract is on the radar of the Lakers because they've got four guys under contract that already put them over the cap with just four human beings.
Can you?
So they've got to do that. Well, that made me feel great. Not only do they have Russell Westbrook, and it doesn't make sense because it's already not worked for a Russell Westbrook-Chris Paul pairing in Houston, but also because the NBA Players Association president cannot opt out of a $44 million contract for the union and then say, I will accept the veteran's minimum. That really looks bad for the union.
You're right about that.
So
that is a good point, Doug.
Now you're down to maybe the Knicks. I mean, who's the real competition? So in that sense, neither side really has great leverage. Suns would be dumb to lose them, and Chris Paul would be dumb to go anywhere else.
There's got to be a ton of teams out there that look at Chris Paul as a free agent right now, even as we speak, and say, man, he'd make us a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. Got to be a ton of teams in the league looking at Chris Paul right now as a free agent saying, man, we'd be so good if we had him. Just saying.
Coming up next, Jordan Hicks.
I think at this point.
What? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold.
Hi, this is AJ Green, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hello, baby! Hello, baby!
I expect AJ to have a big year. Glad he's on the team.
If AJ gets enough footballs this year, he may just be comeback player of the year.
He's been really impressive when you see him on the field with that type of size, with that type of movement skills.
AJ Green breaks the tackle, streaking toward the end zone. Yeah. Touchdown!
Yeah, man, I feel like I have a lot left in the tank.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
Cardinals hitting today. Birds and Gambo will be live.
Just think of it. Just think of that and think of blood trickling down your nose because your cage just came down over your nose and broke it.
D-Book could probably
understand what that's like. I'm sorry about that I hit you in the face. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, somebody's going to go down, and somebody's going to go down hard today. There's no doubt about that. The question is who? Who will go down hard? Not Cowboy. Somebody's going down. That's going to be, I cannot wait for that. The first padded practice coming your way out at State Farm Stadium.
Thanks, Wolf. If Doug bothers you one more time on the show, let me know. I will personally beat him up myself. I will manhandle him. Not happening.
Boy, that was interesting.
That was KO. Yeah, a little violence from KO.
No, how about it? KO, what are you doing?
He does not seem or appear like a violent person.
No, he does not, as a matter of fact. But those are always the kind you've got to be careful of, at least. Trust me on that one.
Jordan Hicks, where are we right now? Do you still want to trade?
I think at this point, I think I've proven that I'm a starter in this league by the resume that I have, by the past 2 years of being here and showing my leadership, showing my play on the field. And so whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else, if given the opportunity to compete, I think I can have a starting job.
It's a really interesting conversation point here. If you haven't heard, according to Jordan Hicks, Steve Keim called him a couple days after the draft to let him know that he would not be competing for the starting job. And it is at that point he requested a trade because he says that's where the drama started. So he doesn't even say the drama started with the pay cut.
Yeah.
He doesn't say the drama started when Zaven Collins was drafted. It started with a phone call that said you're not going to be able to compete for your job. You're competing for the backup job. And that's when he was asked if he still wants a trade. And I want to be clear. I think this is one of the dumbest mistakes that the Cardinals have made in years. I think this is a terrible decision that you've ever told a player you're not going to be allowed to compete for a job. Yet, I don't want to make it sound like I'm defending Jordan Hicks' play last year. I'm not saying Jordan Hicks shouldn't be challenged or played well. You know, I disagree with him and says my play on the field. I don't think so, Jordan.
I think the first year, heck yeah, Jordan Hicks balled.
I think your leadership certainly justifies your opportunity to compete for a job, but I would say your play on the field doesn't necessarily say that you should win the job, but I think every player, no matter how bad you played last year, should be able to compete for a job. Now, I'm the type of guy that says if it's close, I'm taking Zaven Collins. If it's ever close, I'm always taking the young guy.
No doubt about it, Doug Lace.
But if it's not close, how do you look at a team? I mean, how many times have we been told this off the record by coaches of any sport? I don't want to lose the locker room. Why are you still playing that guy? I don't want to lose the locker room. But wait, that guy stinks. Yeah, but do you know what will happen until it's clear cut that they need to be replaced? Every veteran in that team is going to turn on us if we bench this guy.
And here's the one exception to that.
Haven't you done that?
What is the one exception to that? The one exception to what you just said, Douglas, is the franchise quarterback rule. You got a young franchise quarterback. There are two schools of thoughts on that, where you might want to go ahead and throw him out there and say, hey, we're going to let him take his lumps. He's got to learn. He's a tough kid. He'll deal with it. He's going to be fine. We're going to throw him out there and let him take his lumps, and he'll learn that way. And then you've got the other school of thought that says, oh, no, we're going to bring him along slowly. Okay? Whichever. Most teammates of a franchise quarterback or a developing franchise quarterback in the locker room, they understand there are two school of thoughts when it comes to that. So they're more willing to accept those thoughts. And, you know, this right here for a Mike linebacker, I've never, ever heard of saying we're gonna throw him into the fire and let him learn that way. There's got to be a reason why. I don't know what that reason is, but there's got to be a reason why Steve Keim and the Cardinals are going to do this. I just don't know what it is.
It's interesting you bring up franchise quarterback. Let me give you two of your schools of thought in a sense. This is what Jordan Hicks said that really grabbed everybody after practice when a member of the media just simply asked, take us through your offseason and your reaction to the whole Zaven situation.
It was tough, right? Obviously. I got a call a few days after the draft saying that I couldn't compete for the job. And so, you know, when I heard that, that was the whole reason behind all the drama. And, you know, there's nothing against Zaven or the kid is awesome. He's a great player. He's done nothing but great things out there. He's going to have a bright future in the NFL. But, you know, when everything happened, it was tough to handle. So that was kind of the beginning of what you say the offseason was, yeah.
Then a member of the media starts to ask one question. A second member of the media kind of jumps in and just says, who called you?
It was Steve.
Yeah.
So that's the version of events for Jordan Hicks, that the drama started when he was told he was not able to compete for a job. How interesting is it that you said the rules are different when you talk franchise quarterback? Because guess who spoke about something else that had nothing to do with the Cardinals?
It's always a competition. I mean, I'd say when I was at Clemson, when I first came in, it was a similar situation. And that's how you have to do. It has to be a competition. No, nothing can be given. When you start giving things to people, then you set the wrong, precedent for them.
That's Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville saying it's wrong for him to be given the job, and he wants to compete for it just like Clemson.
So, you know, I have a lot of respect for the coaches, the way they've handled everything, and my job is to come in every day, go to work, and try to make this team better. And that's, you know, hopefully, don't get close to the season, we can all gel and get some more work together. But right now, I'm just doing my job.
I think that's more Trevor Lawrence than it is anybody else or anything else. I think it's just Trevor Lawrence right there saying, you know, I don't want to be given the job. I don't want to be given the job. I'm going to go out there and earn the job. I think that's his own mindset.
Because he says it sets a dangerous precedent for the team. And now, what's the precedent that's been set for the Cardinals?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. This is the reason why I have a hard time believing it.
Now, give the Cardinals credit. They don't do press conferences with their, you know, franchise quarterback next to an air conditioner vent or on the middle of the highway. Like, what was going on?
It's always a competition. I mean, I'd say when I was at Clemson.
Noise floor.
Once again, I thought maybe it was a situation where Jordan Hicks requested a trade, right? But according to Jordan Hicks, he did not request a trade until he was told that he couldn't compete for the position. Which, man, I still have a hard time understanding. I do.
I don't know how you don't ask for a trade after that. If you're not going to be allowed to compete for the job.
Football is the ultimate meritocracy. It is. You get what you deserve. You earn it on the field. And you do it through blood and sweat and dirt and grit and grind. And, yeah, you get it.
You're invited to text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line at 620-620, and Salvo did just that, and he says, where is our culture? Who cares what Steve Keim thinks? I care what VJ thinks. I care what Bill Davis thinks, or dare I say Cliff Kingsbury. Steve Keim is channeling his inner Robert Sarver. What the heck is going on?
I don't know, but I guarantee I'm going to find out.
Mm. Wow. Ron Wolfley reporting. Is that tomorrow morning, 6:15? Tomorrow morning, 6:30?
I won't be reporting.
Oh, okay.
Just, I'm sure.
James from Glendale. Is it not the coach that decides who plays and who starts, not the general manager? Well, that depends on the franchise, right?
As a matter of fact, it's the player who decides who starts, Go out and compete. Ball out.
That's an old Rick Tocchet line. The player determines his ice time.
You got that right.
That's a good one. Coming up next, not just we've talked a lot about Chris Paul today, but there's other news that's Suns related that'll make you feel pretty good, I think. Will the money change the man? We're not talking about Chris Paul. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cardinals practice right after lunch today, first day of hitting. And then a couple hours later, right around the end of practice, NBA free agency gets underway at 3 o'clock today.
Man, that's going to be sweet right there, Doug Lease.
I still can't get over how the lot of the Suns has changed, that one of the big days on the calendar for the Suns is the NBA draft lottery.
Yeah.
And then the importance of which player are they going to draft, because, you know, is that the guy that can get them from 23 wins to 27 wins? And now it's, we just laugh at the Thunder on draft night, or on the lottery. Didn't even pay attention much to the draft, and then found out we didn't have to because they didn't even draft anybody. And now free agency is here, and the only thing is Chris Paul coming back when we think he is, and that's where we are.
Yes, he is. Of course he is. Next.
Well, next is then what's about to happen with everybody else. As you asked Bobby Marks, the NBA front office insider for ESPN, what are the options? What are the chances? What's the market for you giving DA that massive max contract that he's allowed to sign? Now, max means something different for every player. You know, max contracts for the Dame Lillards of the world are different than the max contracts for somebody like DA, or the max contract for a LeBron James, blah, blah, blah. But for a rookie entering into this portion of his rookie contract, if you don't give him the max, you now run the risk of him signing as a restricted free agent somewhere else after the season. So no matter what happens, he's a Sun this year. Mm-hmm. And no matter what happens, he can be a Sun at the control of the Suns the year after. But there's always some hard feelings if you don't sign a guy to a contract extension. And secondly, Bobby Marks hints, you have no idea what will happen in the restricted free agent market.
You know, centers in this market, you know, there's not many of them making $28, $29 million. So I think it might look like an overpay in the beginning, but it's similar to what I just talked to you about as far as the cap's going to go up. There's going to be money pumping in, and then we get to year three of the eight in extension to be like, you know what, it's a really good contract here. So he's a priority. Certainly Chris will be priority one. I think him and Mikhail are priority two and 2AB. And I just don't think you can afford to let it play out and then let him go into restricted free agency, because instead of getting him on a five-year contract, you might have a team throw an offer sheet at 3 years with a player option for that third year, like we saw with Gordon Hayward a few years back, and then he becomes a free agent again. And if you have to commit to 5 years, I think that's something that, you know, that you're going to have to think about.
Boy, yeah, that's a tough decision.
About that. Yeah, really.
I mean, I think I understand somebody that says, no, it's not. The risk of losing DA is too great to not offer him a contract extension. But think about this in the world and the day and age where we always know what you're thinking and we'll always be able to prove you wrong in total hindsight. Are you willing to stand on the table and say well over $100 million is not going to change DeAndre Ayton, and everything you saw from late April on until the four-game losing streak to end the season,
right,
is the new DA? Are you 100% sure? And $100 million, you're willing to put $100 million down that you're right?
Right. You know, I'm so distracted right now, Douglas. Oh, honestly, no. Yeah. So distracted. I just saw Jade Carey. Did you see Jade Carey of Phoenix? Did you see what Jade Carey did? She won gold in the floor exercise, ladies and gentlemen. Gold.
You a big gymnastics guy?
You know what? Honestly, I'm just telling you right now, do you think there's some athleticism that is involved and being a gymnast? I think there's a lot of athleticism that is being involved when you're a gymnast. And when I think about that, the floor exercise is just brutal. My brothers, think about this. If you had to do an apparatus in gymnastics, what do you think you'd be good at? That's the question you need to ask yourself right now.
Like, I can't say none of them.
I could say you'd be great at the balance beam. I think you'd be great at that because your ankles are so wide and so thick. Your legs. I think you'd be great at the balance beam, Douglas.
I think it'd be the exact opposite. I think they'd get in the way.
You think the ankles would get in the way? I think they actually they'd act like cement boots for you. I think that actually might help you, but you have to ask yourself this question right here. Do you ever see yourself vaulting? Vaulting at any point, my brothers. That right there just totally gets me. Tell me you wouldn't run down the floor, hit that vault. What are you looking at me for, Mitch? And just go right into the pommel. Tell me you wouldn't do that. I mean, it is the vaulting. I think I'd kill myself with the vaulting.
I cannot watch any YouTube video of gymnastics bloopers because No, it's the exact opposite because I am lost for hours laughing. I can't help but laugh at the falls, but the pommel horse for men, you don't have to worry about the vault though.
Have to worry about the uneven bars. That would be problematic.
They're just parallel bars for men's gymnastics. Exactly,
parallel bars, of course. Yeah.
But the thing that is amazing, there's a really good article at ArizonaSports.com on her in which her dad's her coach, and she supposedly, and I don't know anything about this, I didn't watch women's gymnastics, but she supposedly the day before butchered the vault. And really messed it up.
Yeah, she did.
And then her dad, as coach, decided coaching her on what happened would be pointless because it's over.
Yes.
And he said to her, you know, it's probably sure that yesterday was the worst day of your gymnastics career, and that has nothing to do with why today can't be the best day of your gymnastics career.
Yes.
And he said it perked her up. And then she nailed it and got gold.
Think about that. Jade Carey, 21 years old, of Phoenix, Arizona, based in Orleans. Are you kidding me? To win floor exercise after Simone Biles actually bailed, right? She bailed out. We all know why, for mental reasons right there. And you think of it, though, given the opportunity as an alternate, she goes out there and wins gold. Isn't that stunning? Can you imagine that? What that felt like, especially after she did mess up the vault.
Not knowing if she's going to even be competing.
I mean, you got it. That to me is absolutely incredible right there. But
I didn't know you're a big women's gymnastics guy.
I've got a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old, and they are into the Olympics big time. Even the Warrior Queen, based in Orleans, walks around the compound, and she's like, where's NBC? What is it, 12? Yes, it is 12, and she loves it, loves the Olympics. Sitting around having a cup of coffee watching the Olympics. It's pretty cool.
I admit I'm having
not that she does that all day.
I don't know how many of you are handling it that aren't in the business. I'm having a hellacious time trying to find the stuff. like in my random things of channels, I have 12 News and I have NBC Sports Channel, but I don't have USA, CNBC, and I think there's another one that are covering like I have to find all the stuff. And I'm having sometimes I just give up. Like I'm not, and it's my job to kind of know that stuff. I don't have any idea where that stuff is.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Oh, by the way, you know what? I'll give you one more Olympic opinion on my U.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the U. It's all about
the U. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
It was my U is the U.S. women's national team. It wasn't just one game in these Olympics. The lack of ability to score goals was pathetic, and they played pathetic through most of this tournament. And I'm really excited to see completely new blood on the U.S. women's national team to put that team back on the pedestal where they belong.
The United States leads in the medal count. Peace and strength.